Today is Saturday, October 30th. It was an old-timey Western with a modern, real-life tragic ending. A crew member was shot and killed while filming the movie Rust in New Mexico. As we've covered here on The Newsworthy, actor Alec Baldwin fired the antique revolver that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injured director Joel Souza. Authorities say an assistant director told Baldwin the gun was cold, meaning it didn't have any live rounds in it, before he pulled the trigger. But that wasn't the case. Investigators now say they think the gun did, in fact, contain live ammunition. But they're still investigating and deciding who, if anyone, should face criminal charges. So to get a better idea of what may have gone wrong and what should have happened, I'm talking with the president of the American Society of Cinematographers, Stephen Lighthill. He's also sharing his memories of Helena Hutchins since she used to be his student at the American Film Institute. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Hi, Stephen. Thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Good to be here.
So I first just want to get your initial reaction when you first heard about this tragedy on the Rust set.
It's hard to say. It was complete shock and disbelief. I had to reread and reread the text I was getting over and over again. The next thing, of course, was to flash back on my own experience on motion picture sets with firearms, in which nothing like this had ever occurred. I was completely dumbfounded that in this day and age it had occurred. You know, the initial reaction is shock, and the second reaction is that there has to be a thorough investigation of this. And of course, the third reaction is that what this means for our community, because going forward for filmmakers, this is a watershed moment in which everything is different from now on.
And I want to talk about each piece that you just mentioned, but let's start with a few of the main protocols and safety measures that are typically in place on a movie or TV series set.
At the top of this safety bulletin, before it actually gets into the subject matter, it says a gun is never to be pointed at a person. A gun is always assumed to be capable of killing. Most armorers that I work with would not allow anyone else to handle a weapon. And when it was time for the actor to take the weapon, they wouldn't give the actor the weapon until the moment when they actually needed it. And then the armorer would step back, allow the rehearsal or the scene to take place, and the armorer would stay right on set watching the weapon. And when the take was concluded, the armorer would step forward, put their hand on the actor's hand, and take the gun away from them. And the reason for that kind of approach was so that the gun is never pointed anywhere but where it's supposed to be pointed. And live ammunition, that is bullets with gunpowder in them, are never to be on a set or a stage.
So real bullets or live ammunition are not supposed to be on a movie set no matter what?
That's correct. And, you know, let me just say that a lot of the reporting around this event have kind of, you know, the headline has kind of been an accident or misfiring on a movie set with a prop gun turned lethal. Well, you know, several things are wrong about that. First of all, a prop is a prop and a gun is a gun. You never call a live, working, functional weapon a prop gun. Because it is what it is. It's a gun. And a prop is something that looks like a gun, but isn't a gun. What was involved in this incident was a real gun. And to call it a misfiring, I think, is a misnomer. It was a gun that functioned. Someone pulled the trigger. It's not like there was something that went wrong with it. The gun did what the gun's supposed to do, which was fire a bullet. You know, to call this an accident is a mistake in my world, because all of us know what the procedures are for handling weapons on a set. When something like this goes wrong, it's a matter of someone not doing their job. This is, you know, somebody doing something terrible. Like if I leave this interview and go have a couple drinks and then get behind the wheel of a car and hit someone and kill them, you know, we don't call that an accident. We actually have different words that we use for that. You know, it's a felony. And if that happened, I would have to pay a very heavy legal price for that. That's the situation we're in here. The loss of life in the making of a motion picture, the killing of a young mother, is unacceptable.
Who do you think should be held accountable, and in what way?
Well, I think the bottom line is that when there is a motion picture, there is a person in charge who is supposed to have hired people who know how to do their job and can do it safely. Reportedly, an AD handled the weapon.
Assistant director.
Yeah, assistant director, yes. Reportedly, he took the weapon from a cart that was unattended. Both of those things are wrong. The armorer should not have left the weapon unattended. You never, ever do that. So when you ask who's responsible, I don't know. I couldn't possibly say. It has to be investigated. But clearly, people in charge of this production are ultimately responsible. And I think one of the conversations we need to have right now is why we're having so many functional guns on sets around people where they can hurt if something goes wrong. I hope that most productions will begin to commit to using something other than a functional weapon.
You had mentioned that live ammunition or real bullets should not ever be used, but sometimes a real gun that's not loaded could be, correct? Can you explain why, in what instances that may happen, why there might be a real weapon on set?
Let's take the current situation and look at it. So it's a period Western, and the common weapon was a sidearm, often called a six shooter or Colt 45, whatever. So that's a revolver. And when you take a picture of a revolver and you can see down the barrel toward the rotating chamber that holds the bullets, you can tell whether or not there's a bullet in there or not. So what we use in cases like that are called dummies. They're the shell and the bullet, but there's no gunpowder, no primer in the bullet. It's just there for show. So when you see someone wearing a bandolier across their chest with bullets, those are dummy bullets. They look like bullets, but they can never be confused with bullets, because the armorer, if they're doing their job correctly, marks them with a die or some kind of mark that indicates this is a dummy bullet. Of course, as I said earlier, there never should be live rounds on set. That is a dummy bullet that's got gunpowder in it. That's just not, there's just shouldn't be an issue about getting one thing confused with the other, a live round confused with a dummy round. That basic rule was violated on this set, and I don't know why. That's what an investigation will tell us.
Still ahead, several crew members working on Rust reportedly quit just hours before the deadly shooting, citing safety concerns. We'll get Stephen Lighthill's reaction to that, plus why he thinks the tragedy will be a watershed moment for the entire industry. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. When was the last time you thought about your mental health? I think it's so important to talk about, because our mental health is just as important as our physical health. When anything, even temporarily, might be interfering with your happiness, why not address it? There may be even things you don't realize are getting in your way. So big or small, BetterHelp wants to help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist to help you figure out what's going on. And I love that you can message your therapist anytime. And of course, you can set up phone or video calls to really get the full benefit of BetterHelp. They have counselors who are specialized in stress, anxiety, grief, relationships, and much more. And if you're ever not happy with your counselor, just change counselors anytime until you find the right fit. And you always connect in a private online environment. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. This episode is also brought to you by Indeed. You all know it's important to stay on top of the latest news for many reasons, including staying on top of your game and making the best decisions. And for your business to stay ahead of the competition, you need the right talent. So if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all, attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. And I know what it's like to have so much going on in business and just in life that there's no time to waste. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. And with things like Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. So get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/newsworthy. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/newsworthy. Indeed.com/newsworthy. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, now back to my conversation with Stephen Lighthill. The Los Angeles Times was citing crew members working on Rust who claimed working conditions were poor in general and that there were at least two other gun discharges on set before the deadly shooting. What's your take on those claims and what that means and what maybe should have been done before this happened?
If, in fact, what is being said is that there were safety violations, and that was one of the reasons the crew felt they should leave, that is a serious, serious problem. Let me say this, that a crew is, you know, they're specific people. In this case, they were part of the camera department. They're technical jobs, right? And so those people had a loyalty to Helena, and the loyalty was to do the best job they could and to stick with her and watch her back. If they felt they had been so mistreated by production that they had to quit to make a point, and they actually wrote a letter of resignation stating their concerns, which I also read in the press. Let me just say that all the indications are, you know, when you have a feature film being shot in 20 days, we all know what that means. So it means you have to work fast and you have to work long hours. And if, in fact, people were tired, and that's why these mistakes happened, then that is a serious problem that has to be confronted. Because we all in this business, I like to say that we're addicted to long hours. We're all working these hours for different reasons. But we need as a community to get together, actors, producers, directors, cinematographers, all of us need to sit down and figure out how we can work reasonable hours so we have a reasonable family life when we're working.
Do you think Helena's death will inspire change in the industry overall?
Like I said earlier, I think it is a watershed moment. I think those of us who knew Helena, you know, are changed by this event forever. Life's different from now on. And I think there already was a lot of anger. I think that there is a context, and the context is people are already upset, and then this happens. And so I think that, yes, what your question implies is that will things be different going forward? And I would say, yeah, they have to be. We have to all take seriously what this means. Already, we've seen a couple of productions who have committed to not using functional weapons on set. And I think that's terrific. But I do think we need to have wider conversations. And ultimately, we must be loyal to having a safe, collaborative working environment.
I want to end with your memory of Helena. She was your student at the American Film Institute. What can you tell us about her?
Yeah, Helena was really an amazing person because, you know, she started her cinematography career after a journalism career when she was already, had already started a family. You know, I made clear to her as a family person myself that it's very challenging to come back to graduate school and study because we work people really hard when they're here because we just have them for 2 years and we need them to get ready for a profession. And the thing about Helena was that when I said all that to her, she kind of looked at me like I'm aware of that and I'm going to do it. So the first thing I noticed about her was her toughness and her directness. Helena was a terrific person. She had a tough time transitioning back to school and into cinematography. And my faculty and I worked hard with her in her first year. And in the, in the second year, she did a marvelous film that's her graduation film. I think that she was really loved and respected by her classmates. So that when we did a vigil for her, candlelight vigil for her Sunday night, virtually all her classmates were there.
The American Film Institute has now set up a new scholarship fund for women filmmakers in honor of Hutchins. We link to more information in the episode notes if you want to donate. We'll, of course, keep you updated on this investigation and all the other news you need for your day during our 10-minute news roundups every Monday through Friday. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.